It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Parents will soon be finding out what many around the state already know. Scores from standardized tests given last spring were down, way down. According to the State Department of Education, the number of students rated as proficient in math dropped nearly 60%, while language arts scores among eighth graders are down 26% from the previous year. The test, the Pennsylvania System of School Assessment, is given to students in third through eighth grades, and it should be noted they were made considerably harder as students are now tested on standards that are part of Pennsylvania's version of the Common Core. More about that later. But along with the bad news has come word that the U.S. Department of Education has given the state permission to press the pause button for a year in the way it uses the results. As part of 90.5 WESA's Life of Learning initiative, we're looking at what the test score drop-off means and how Pennsylvania educators should respond. I'm joined now in studio by Quaker Valley Superintendent Heidi Ondeck. Heidi Ondeck, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul.
Also with us is Joseph Sapancic. He's a member of the Cannon McMillan School Board. Joseph Sapancic, good to have you with us.
Thank you, Paul.
You can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is essspgh@wesa.fm and on Twitter at essspgh. Again, your calls and questions at 412-246-2002. Heidi Ondeck, let's begin with you. The new standards have prompted the federal government to give the state a one-year waiver from the No Child Left Behind Act requirements. The idea being that these tests are harder, so let's take a step back and let folks reassess. How do you feel about this pause, and what does it mean?
The pause has been very well received by school districts across the Commonwealth. It's viewed as a fairness measure in that this is a brand new test. It's really unfair to compare last year's to this year's. It's a new test and it's a new baseline. So this gives school districts an opportunity to analyze its data, analyze their data, and begin to make adjustments where warranted in the curriculum and in terms of instruction over the course of this next year.
And Joseph Sapancic, your thoughts about this pause?
Well, I think it's good to call it a pause and to talk about it as a new baseline. One of the things that parents should be concerned about, they're going to be hearing these numbers, and I'm sure the media is going to cover this as the numbers going down, like we talked about in the opening part of this show. But, you know, I think it's important to understand that these are the same students in the same schools, and thinking that the actual numbers went down by that much in one year says a lot more about the test that's being given than it does about the schools or the children attending those schools.
John Sarandria, he's the superintendent of the Newcastle Area School District. He was quoted recently as saying that we are working harder than ever and our scores are lower than ever. Do we know why this is happening? Is it strictly based on the degree of difficulty of this new standardized test, or is there more that people should be concerned about? Heidi?
I think it's too soon to say. There's an awful lot about this new test that we don't know. I think it's a caution to us all as educators and parents to be very wise and discerning consumers of all kinds of test data that are produced from our schools. And it's a reminder of the importance, in my opinion, to look at multiple measures of success. I don't doubt that schools are working harder than ever. If the results are not showing that, I think we need to take a step back and look at what it is we're doing, and is there healthy alignment to the assessments, and not to over-respond or knee-jerk in reaction to this particular test.
Is the one-year waiver enough time?
I don't think so, because I think that we will need more years of data in order to determine whether or not the curriculum is changing appropriately. And it's also a testament to the fact that, you know, with all this high stakes testing going on, what's happening is we are being given this narrative that somehow public education is failing, and it's not. So every couple of years, we say, here's the problem, and somebody comes up with a new solution for it. So the public schools are constantly retooling themselves, and we're taking teachers out of instructional time in order to teach them a new method of doing things. The PA Corps is a good example of that. I have myself three daughters who are in the Kenna McMillan School District, and my youngest one, who's in third grade right now, she's the first student that's going to be coming up through entirely in the Common Core and now the PA Corps standards from kindergarten on the line. I think that one of the things that educators should be allowed to do is do the experimentation they need to teach in the classrooms without having the government come in every 2 or 3 years and tell us to strip it all down again and start over.
Is part of the worry about the results of the scores in Pennsylvania, is it based on the perception of the public? Are we getting too caught up in the perception of the public and maybe, quite frankly, the media?
I think so. I think it is true that schools are doing far more progressive things now than ever before. There's a heavy emphasis on thinking and deeper thinking. The Maker Movement has swept the Western Pennsylvania region and is given us national attention. I think there are so many positive things happening. If you ask parents, most are very, very happy with their children's schools. So back to Joe's point, this myth has been promulgated that schools are failing. And so test scores come out, and I think they are alarming. But once again, it's a reminder that we ought not to place too much stock in any one measure. We also ought to be using other measures. There are multiple ways of assessing students' progress in schools, and we like to look at our end results, how our graduates are doing, our AP results. We use ERBs and other measures to make sure that we're not just defensively criticizing necessarily the PSSA results, but that we're looking at other markers of success.
Oh, but Joe, you wanted to say something.
Sure, but I wanted to say that I think that part of this obsession about the actual test numbers is based upon the struggle that people have to try to determine whether or not our schools are succeeding or not. And, you know, if you can't put on a bumper sticker, you know, people don't understand things. So what they want to see is, what was the standard the state set? How did my school do? And that, and let that be the be-all, end-all of their analysis. You know, so, I mean, the public is trying to understand something that I think is incredibly complicated. And we struggle with it every day in order to get those results up. And I'm far less worried about where our kids end up than I am how far that child travels from the time they start till they get to the end. Some of these children, because of some of their challenges, whatever those challenges may be, may never get to the point where they can actually go past those markers. But, you know, Quaker Valley may be doing one heck of a job getting that child from where they are, you know, and really making that child achieve in a very significant fashion.
What are the best ways to measure success? If we're maybe there's too much tunnel vision here, we're looking too much at one particular area. So what would be other ways to do that assessment?
I think multiple measures that include sometimes qualitative observational data. I think parents are some of the best observers of their children's progress in social settings. In academics, it becomes the teacher in the classroom and the formative assessments that are used. I think that it is dangerous in any example to base too much on a narrow view of one particular assessment. With all due respect to the PSSA, and I think the PA Corps does provide us an opportunity to engage children in more rigorous learning, higher level thinking and problem solving. Than what they've been asked to do on prior assessments. But even at that, it is one measure.
And the core, the Common Core is certainly controversial. There's a lot of, there are different opinions about it. Some people believe in it, others do not. Is Pennsylvania's version of the Common Core an effective means for improving education? Joseph Panik, what do you think?
I think that what the Common Core strives to do is to create standards that can be evaluated across the board concerning issues in education. One of the things you have to understand in order to properly understand Common Core is there is a lot of the blowback on Common Core is that it's coming from the federal government. part of the reason why it was implemented was the federal government's response to the problems that came up in No Child Left Behind, where the federal legislation allowed the states to determine whether or not their students were making those assessments. And then what we found out was there are states in many parts of the country where the standards that were being taught or evaluated in school districts weren't the same across the board. So you could have standards in Pennsylvania being very high and the standards in another state being very low. But the Common Core does, at least in part, is try to normalize that across the spectrum so that other states can't be gaming the money coming into their system. Because what No Child Left Behind does is it penalizes schools for not achieving instead of trying to give extra resources to schools that are struggling and need the help. So it has really created this all or nothing mentality where it's really important to make sure that we continue to get all of the money that we're supposed to be getting from the federal government. And to that end, we're pushing things down a certain road. So I think that, you know, there's people on both sides of the political spectrum that criticize Common Core for different reasons, but it is in response to what, in essence, is very flawed federal legislation regarding education.
Today is the day that parents are scheduled to receive their children's test scores. How should parents be using them?
With much discernment. I would caution any parent from over-interpreting these scores, because it is a new test and this is a new baseline. And to your previous question, it may take years before this is a reliable enough measure to base too much on instructionally for a child. So parents know their children best, followed closely by their teachers. And I think that it warrants good conversations between parents and teachers about what teachers are seeing daily in the classroom. I think is oftentimes a far more reliable predictor of a child's future success even than some of these measures. So that said, I think I would encourage parents to remain in dialogue with their child's teacher and not to overly interpret these data this time.
Are these scores, do they hold any real value at all at the present time?
I think the fact that the federal government granted the Department of Education this pause for the year is a clear indicator that they really are not reliable enough for this year. And I would argue that in future years, it's going to take some time before we can count on the PSSA as a reliable measure.
We are talking about the results of standardized tests given last spring. Scores overall were down. We're looking at the reasons for that, what it means, and where to go looking ahead and going forward on the issue of how to improve education and the results, the effectiveness for students taking these tests, and how best to evaluate them. Our guests are Quaker Valley Superintendent Heidi Ondeck, and also with us is Joseph Sapanik, a member of the Cannon McMillan School Board. We'll get to your emails and your calls at 412-246-2002. This is Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we are parsing through the results that are coming out today. The overall results have certainly been made available to educators and have been leaked in a general sense to the media. The specific scores, my guests are both chuckling at that. The specific scores are being sent to parents, and they will receive those in the mail as of today, September 14th. So we're looking at the scores, the standardized test scores being down, why that is, if it matters, and the path going forward to improve education with our guests, Quaker Valley Superintendent Heidi Ondeck, and also Joseph Sapanik. Easy for me to say, Joseph. Joseph Sapanik, a member of the Cannon McMillan School Board, who's with us here in studio. And we are taking your calls at 412-246-2002. Also, your emails at esspgh@wesa.fm. And we have an email from Joseph who says, A possible answer is that schools have become a political, economic football with the introduction of charter schools. What about that? Heidi Ondeck?
Well, you know, the charter schools, particularly the cyber charter schools, have drained precious resources from our public schools. And some of the more skeptical folks out there would say that the testing is being used to make the case that public schools are failing, or to reinforce that story that could cause individuals to enroll in the cyber or other charter schools. So I wouldn't disagree necessarily with that theory. That's certainly a reality that we live with today.
And why have public schools become a target? And I think I speak for many people in Pittsburgh. I went to public school from grades 4 through 12, graduated from Peabody High School. A number of folks in this town have graduated from city high schools. We all felt that we received a good education. Maybe we're being delusional about that, but we all felt that our education was very well-rounded. And so why shouldn't people expect to get a good education from the public schools? Why have the public schools become a target for criticism? Joseph.
Well, I just wanted to say, Paul, you have a very unique experience in talking about public education. And what I mean by that is people talk about public schools failing. And first of all, that's not true. Secondly, even though it is sort of a political football to say that they're failing, your experience is exactly average, meaning that you think your school was okay. If you go out and look at the research, people think their school is doing more or less very well. They think that neighboring school districts are doing very well. And then when you ask them what's the state of public education in America, they say it's failing. Where is this disconnect? If your personal experience tells you that Peabody is giving you a great education and Quaker Valley and Cannon McMillan are giving a great public education, where is the thought that they're all failing, okay? Now, there's certainly schools where the scores are lower, but, you know, one of the things that I've learned in about 8 years of educational leadership is I can take a look at the demographics of your district and pretty well tell, you know, where you are going to fall along that line of district achievement based upon a lot of different factors in the students that are coming to your school. If you come from a very affluent type of neighborhood where you have two-parent families and economic resources and books in the home, you're going to score well. If you're coming from a district that has a large number of what we call Title I students, broken homes, low socioeconomic status, those numbers are lower. And I would dare say that the teachers in those schools aren't doing any worse job of teaching those students. There are certainly some bad teachers, but I think what happens, and you know, living in an urban center like around Pittsburgh, you know, people take a look at some of the more urban city school districts, whether Pittsburgh or Philly, and say we have some problems here, you know, but the people that are typically saying that aren't the ones living there. You know, they say my school is great, but you know, there's those other schools that aren't, okay? And I think it just gives us an improper look on the overall state of education.
You know, where this conversation is based on is the result of test scores being released. The numbers are based on tougher tests than last year. Is it possible for parents or educators, for that matter, to compare one year to the next, Heidi?
I don't think so. I think it's a completely different test.
And why were the tests made harder?
Well, we don't know. Our staff was provided, as other school districts were too, provided with some test samples, but we're not permitted to review the tests. It's difficult to know whether, in fact, there is a healthy and strong alignment between the PA core standards and the assessments themselves. And I don't want to sound too skeptical, but I think that's a legitimate concern that schools have issuing these tests. It's going to take some time before there's real reliability and validity, and that's true of any new test.
412-246-2002 to join the conversation with Quaker Valley Superintendent Heidi Ondeck, whom you just heard, Joseph Sapancic, a member of the Cannon McMillan School Board. We have Emily from Washington. She has a question about these test scores. Emily, you're on Essential Pittsburgh. Welcome.
Hi, my name is Emily, and I have 3 children in the McGuffey School District. And I was just wondering if the results of this year compared to previous years are kind of completely random, or if you can kind of deduct 20 or 30 points, and that's going to be what most kids are.
Emily, this is Joseph Pancik speaking. What I would tell you if you're taking a look at scores coming home from your school district today is, one, take a deep breath and don't panic. But two, what I would do is I would, if let's say there's an issue with a math score, I would talk to your teacher from the previous year in that child and say, okay, this is the score. And then I go to the current teacher and see if there seems to be a problem there or not. Because the people that are going to be able to tell whether or not your student, your child is achieving in those subject areas is going to be dependent upon the teachers. Just because those scores went down doesn't mean that the child has really backtracked in performance. You just can't look at these numbers in that fashion. Dr. Ondick here is correct when she said before that we should see these new tests as merely a baseline. And, you know, if we have the same test next year, then I would compare those two numbers, not the previous year.
And I might add, if I may, Emily, that I would encourage you to remain astute for examples that either contradict or support these data as you receive them. My guess is that most parents are going to see examples that contradict the testing results that you receive this week.
Emily, thanks for the call. It sounds like maybe we're getting too caught up in the results and maybe missing a bigger point, that these harder tests could push educators in a better direction, perhaps?
I think that's an optimistic way of viewing all of this, and I'm hopeful that that's the case. I think that we have to always be wise discerners of everything coming to us as local school districts, and that's up to our local school boards to guide and respond to what's being asked of us by the State Department of Education. But if you look at the PA core standards, there is true rigor there that if aligned strongly and clearly to an assessment, I think does have potential to move us.
So in the couple minutes that we have remaining here, what does the state need to be doing between now and the next set of tests?
I would ask for more communication with school districts and professional development and guidance. I'm from the state of New York originally. The state regents exams have been out. The content area exams, end of course exams have been out for, I think, since the late 60s. And there was always real healthy alignment and communication. So when the test came along, it was not a surprise. It was clear to teachers, much like the AP curricula, as to what content would be covered and which areas would be greater emphasized than others in a test. So it's not necessarily teaching to test, but it's being honest in terms of expectations so that students, if taught well, can perform well in the end.
You know, other states such as Texas, for example, made a jump to rigorous standards but phased in the change, so the impact was not as dramatic. Is that what should have happened here?
Perhaps, and maybe that will be the direction now going forward.
Hindsight's 2020.
Yes.
Always. Joseph Zapancic, what do you feel the state needs to be doing between now and the next set of tests?
Well, first of all, I think that we need another year of a waiver, okay, so that we can take another year, and compare apples to apples instead of the apples to oranges that we're getting now.
So a two-year waiver?
Right. So I would go for an additional year so we can take these results and check them against next year's results.
Is there a path to do that? There's already been a one-year waiver that's been given. What is the path toward getting another year?
Yeah, you know, I'm not exactly sure about that. I believe that has to come from the Department of Education to give the school districts the ability to, or the states the ability to ask for that. But one of the other things that I think that is really relevant here is – one of the things that I think the state could do is pass the budget that's over 75 days due. There are school districts across this state right now that are cutting and stopping spending simply because the state legislators who went on vacation on August 24th and aren't coming back to the House until the 21st, the school districts need that money. And we're not talking about if, you know, the state wants to cut a portion of the money that's coming into us. We're talking about $1.18 billion in state basic education subsidy that was not given to school districts. There are some school districts that are using fund balance that have them, but other ones are having to borrow that money, and we just can't make progress when that's going on.
Joseph Zapancic is a member of the Cannon McMillan School Board. Also joining us, Quaker Valley Superintendent Heidi Ondeck. Thank you both for being with us for a fascinating conversation.
Thank you.
Coming up, the British invasion group The Zombies are bringing their Odyssey and Oracle tour to Pittsburgh. We'll talk with original member Rod Argent when Essential Pittsburgh continues on 90.5 WESA.